It's the Tao of publishing in the digital age. The way to success flows from reconciling the combating forces of destruction and renewal. Put another way, it's the Sartori possible in a world of clicks and mortar. One analyst author has a view on the scene that many will find welcome. Hello, this is Christopher Keneally for Copyright Clearance Center and our podcast series Beyond the Book. Every week on Friday, we invite Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, for a look back on the latest news in the book trade and to give us a preview of PW's upcoming issue. Andrew joins me now from PW's office in Manhattan, and welcome, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
It's the watchword of the digital age, Andrew, disruption. But in Monday's issue, Forrester Research analyst James McQuivey has his take on why the book business is positioned to thrive in the digital revolution. And tell us what that's all about.
Yeah, you're right. You know, for what it's worth, I'm all for retiring that word disruption. I've heard it so much over the last decade. At least when it comes to publishing, I'm ready to retire it. But as our Heidi McDonald will note in Monday's issue, by now everyone knows that digital distribution and digital consumption has affected just about everything in our world. And at this point, it's more about construction, I think, than disruption. And she spoke with Forrester's James McQuivey, who's the vice president and senior analyst, about how digital has transformed, especially how it's transformed publishing and the writing enterprise. And what might surprise readers is that McQuivey actually singled out the book business for praise. He sort of hailed publishers for being what he calls psychologically more open to change and for mostly embracing the digital shift, as well as the new tools and opportunities that digital has brought. Of course, there's always a catch. And, you know, I'll just point this very obvious one out. McQuivey, as you mentioned, is the author of an excellent new book on theories of digital disruption and how we can take advantage of digital disruption. And it's called Digital Disruption, Unleashing the Next Wave of Innovation. It's going to be published on February 26th, and it's going to be published by Amazon, which some publishers might say embodies that term, disruption.
Well, indeed, it pretty much does. It represents all those forces coming together in a single place. And, you know, I'm something of a fan of James McQuivey. We've seen him at Digital Book World over the years, and he's joined us on Beyond the Book from time to time. What does he have to say? Tell us more about his take on the state of
book. Well, I'm with you. I'm a fan of McQuivey too, and I really look forward to like diving into this book and doing more with it in future weeks. But he's found out some pretty cool stuff, actually. Our Heidi McDonald caught up with him right after Digital Book World this year, where he had just presented his annual survey on Publisher Outlook, which some of our listeners will no doubt recall. That Outlook polls about 60 executives and their reactions on to the industry's digital transition. You know, as we reported at the time, that survey offered a mix of abstract optimism and what we called personal gloom. Because while most publishers profess that they believe digital was going to be a good thing for the business, only 34% thought that their own businesses were actually ready to adapt to these new digital strategies. So, you know, what's the good news? Well, unlike other content and other mediums, music, most obviously, the audiences for books tend to skew a little older. And as we know, old habits are harder to break. And the early e-reading devices, to be polite, you know, they kind of stunk. You know, early e-ink readers were, by and large, pretty terrible, McQuivey believes. And at the same time, Amazon did a really good job during this period to help people be able to order and get digital books very easily. And I think he's right. There really was no sort of iPod moment for books where right out of the gate, you had this great new way of getting reading. Instead, it took a little time. And, you know, there's been a more manageable growth of devices in ebook selling, shall we say, you know, even if that change is now accelerating to the point where he believes that the problems associated with e-reading are pretty much largely solved, if not perfectly so. You know, and there's a ton more in the piece, you know, everything from social media to self-publishing and other trends sweeping the industry. But I think one of the main takeaways of McQuivey's book is that embracing change is the best way to handle whatever lingering fears we may have about the digital future. You know, sounds simple, right? Embrace change, you know, but he's got a point. And, you know, he's got a lot of insight to back up his argument. And you can find out more about what he thinks by diving into Monday's issue of PW.
Well, you know, I think you summed it up pretty well, the mood of the room at Digital Book World when he presented his survey results. Abstract optimism.
That's personal gloom.
And personal gloom. Which is thin and which is heavy.
Right.
And you know, even though there are some signs of freedom from fear out there, some hope for freedom from fear, the digital transition remains rather unsettling. We've had some numbers to unsettle even the strongest of stomachs.
Yeah, very true. You know, and this week, the numbers that jump out at me is Hachette's 2012 results, which showed that ebook revenue is starting to level off a bit, which, you know, that coincides and confirms numbers we've seen from other houses and also anecdotal evidence we've been hearing. You know, to me, that feels more like a sign of the maturation of the ebook market rather than anything that's like fundamentally wrong or needs to be fixed or changed. Although, obviously, publishers with a more mature e-market and with more and more people choosing to read digital primarily, publishers are going to have to respond. But notably, in the U.S. in 2012, ebook sales dropped 3.4% at Hachette, and this despite a slight increase in units sold. And HBG officials say that that reflects a continued shift to how there's just basically less revenue generated by print or by ebooks over print. You know, overall, I think 26% was the number that Hachette gave us. That's what their digital revenue totaled in 2012. And that's up from 23% in 2011. So that's good news. Now, the other part of the good news here is that ebooks may generate a little less revenue than print, but they also offer more efficiencies. And to that end, I think the next thing we'll be looking for is the profit figures from Hachette. And those are going to be released in the coming weeks. So we'll keep an eye out for that on the PW website as well.
Well, you know, you say you keep an eye out for the profit reports from Hachette, but I've got my eye out for something good to eat. And I understand the focus in this week's issue is cookbooks.
That's right. And I have to say, one of my favorite issues of the year, and I think an issue, obviously, that's a favorite of everyone out there. I know it's one of yours. Mm-hmm. This issue is full of cookbook coverage. It's a veritable buffet, you might say, overseen by Publishers Weekly's Mark Rotella, who also edits our free Cooking the Books e-newsletter. And he hosts the PW radio show on Sirius with our sidekick Rose Fox. So what's happening with the foodies? Well, the issue is jam-packed with a lowdown on forthcoming books, including new offerings from Molly Katzen, whose 1973 Moosewood restaurant cookbook made vegetarians cool to some, I guess. And in September, St. Martin's Press is even publishing a new Moosewood restaurant favorites by the Moosewood Collective, although Katzen has long since split from that collective. But Katzen herself is also going to have a new book out in September, The Heart of the Plate, Vegetarian Recipes for a New Generation. And she's publishing that with Rux Martin Books, an imprint at Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And that's kind of the trend, really, that I see that Mark simply points out. You know, vegetarian and healthy eating. Clarkson Potter has the great Mark Bittman's new book, which is VB6, Eat Vegan Before 6 O'Clock to Lose Weight and Restore Your Health in April. And in September, Harvard Common Press has One Dish Vegan by Robin Robertson. And you never would have told me even a decade ago that vegan was going to be a big trend in cookbooks, but it really is. And that healthy eating trend, editors say, isn't going to go away anytime soon. But fear not, omnivores, the issue is packed with plenty more of 2013's offerings, and including lots of good stuff for the bacon-loving, comfort food-craving gourmands out there. And in addition, we have a look at the upcoming titles and trends, and Mark Rotella includes a few observations on what's been selling. So, you know, what's the recipe for a best-selling cookbook? You won't be surprised to know, you know, a dollop of Food Network helps, a little QVC in there helps, and, you know, a sprinkling of blog and Twitter all seem to add to the flavor of a best-selling book. In fact, looking at the top 10 best-selling cookbooks of 2012, without, you know, no surprises there, we see Giada, who's a Food Network star, and blogger Lee Drummond, who has two books on the charts, The Pioneer Woman Cooks, Recipes from an Accidental Country Girl, and Food from My Frontier. Deb Perlman, whose debut book, The Smitten Kitchen, also has a blog by the same name. Plenty more I could go on, but I'm going to leave it there and hope that, you know, I've whet your appetite for Monday's issue.
Well, indeed you have. You know, as the French say in the kitchen, ça sent bon. That sounds really good. Andrew Albanese, thank you so much for that wrap-up of the latest news in the book trade and what's ahead for Publishers Weekly.
My pleasure, and hope you survive the blizzard okay, and I'll talk to you next week.
Well, we'll let you know if we do survive. We'll be back and look forward to joining you. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Chris Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.